Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. We're doing another recording here from the state of Colorado. I'm Sam.
I'm David.
I'm Braden.
And I'm Keenan.
And it's wonderful to be here with some of my brothers in Christ as we're fellowshipping and also doing evangelism for the work of our Father as we walk in obedience as our Lord Jesus did. Today for this podcast, the title of it and what we're going to be talking about is You Are Commanded to Do Greater Works Than Christ. But how? How is that? How can we do greater works than Christ? That just seems impossible. Almost foolishness. But today we're going to look at the Word of God to understand why and how that is. So with that, we will start and open in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we can be gathered. Father, I thank you for the people that you have brought to listen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, I command all evil to flee from them, from their presence. As they listen, your Spirit will move, O Father, and work in their hearts. Father, you, O God, by your Spirit, you convict them and you give them eyes to see and ears to hear and to understand your word, and to know that your word is powerful and that your Spirit moves in power in the saints to fulfill and accomplish your purposes, your righteousness, and to continue to destroy the works of the devil and to expose the lies of Satan as he continues to work as an angel of light. A wolf, but in sheep's clothing, as an apostle of Christ himself. But Father, we know that as we turn to you in humility, you will expose those deceptions, and you will empower your saints to do your work. Bless this time, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start in the book of John. We're going to start in John 14. John 14, again, the apostles, the 12 disciples following Christ, and they had not yet received the Holy Spirit of God, so there was still much confusion and misunderstanding. They also continued to struggle with sin in their heart. It still dwelt there because it had not yet been removed through the spiritual baptism. If you want to know more about that, listen to the episode that we did, Don't Be Like the Disciples Before They Received the Holy Spirit. And we go through Scripture to explain that. God explains it in His Word. If you have a different understanding, then I encourage you to listen to that episode. Maybe your understanding is the way it is because you have not heard and read all these other verses. Remember, God does not contradict. Typically what happens is contradiction can come into play when you only have some of the truth but not all of it, and your mind is left to fill in the blank. I encourage you not to do that. Go listen to that episode and receive the rest of Scripture, and then make a decision in a judgment. And pray and ask the Father to reveal to you by His Spirit what is the truth. I'm confident that you will receive an answer of unity with the other saints. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking. And He's speaking to Philip, because Philip didn't understand at the point. He wanted them to show him the Father. So, Braden or Keenan, if you can read verse 9, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 16.
Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Amen. Amen. Now, the key, when we look through this, it's going to be the Spirit of God. And there's a certain work. Now, the Spirit of God was working around the apostles. The Spirit of God was working and giving and the authority that was granted to them when they went out to evangelize and speak truth and proclamation when they went and when Jesus sent them out. And they did works of God, because they had authority that was granted to them by Jesus. And so the Spirit of God was working around them doing those works. But notice he says, he will be in you, a future tense, because the Spirit of God was not yet in them, had not yet been given. And if you recall, when you look at the gospel message that they preached, they didn't fully understand the true gospel message, that Jesus had to die for them. Remember Peter, when Peter opposed Christ, when Christ said he had to go to Jerusalem to die, and Jesus and Peter said he would prevent it, may it never be. So a lot of times I tell people, you need to slow down and really meditate on God's word and ask him to instruct you. If not, you'll find yourself, because the devil will plant other thoughts in your mind. The devil plants thoughts in your mind. The Spirit of God plants thoughts in your mind. You must discern them. You must go to the scripture and validate which one is true. And so I'm here to help you, to point some of these things out in scripture that people are not aware of. But if you go and you read these things, it will expose the lies of the devil that have been implanted in your mind. And you take them captive and cast them out. Now, going back to John 14, let's look at some of this. Jesus did many works. Does Jesus say that the words that he spoke and the works that he did, does he say they were his?
No.
Whose were they?
Father's.
They were the Father's. The Father was abiding in Christ. And Christ was able to do the Father's work. And we know that the Holy Spirit was abiding in Christ. The Holy Spirit was working in Christ. And these are key points to understand as we go through and we get to this point of how is it that we could do greater works in Christ? I didn't get to the point that you're supposed to already be doing the works of Christ, but not just the works of Christ, but greater works. Now, he says part of the belief that the Father, that he is in the Father and that the Father is in him, is because of the works themselves. They testify. Now, we know that when we come to the truth, does not the Bible teach that we are to be in the Father and the Father in us? Just as Christ is in the Father and the Father is in him? Yes, it does. It does say that. It teaches that. You find a lot of that teaching if you keep reading in the book of John. We aren't going to be covering it today, but you find some of this in John chapter 17 as you read. But for today, what we're going to look at, and you also find some of it more with this oneness as you keep reading through John chapter 14. But we aren't going to continue to read. We're going to focus just here on the works today. So in verse 12, again, let's read that one verse again, verse 12.
I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father.
Now, I know that some people have probably come across that verse before. It almost seems like a riddle. For some people, it has confounded them. Now, the first part, it's easier to understand, but it still confounds some people. The first part is that you'll do the same works that I do. Now, if you go through and you read through scripture and some of the works that Jesus was doing, he would heal the sick, give sight to the blind, open the ears of the deaf, make the lame walk, and raise the dead, like he raised Lazarus. So those are some of the works. We can read about them. Jesus said, you will do same works. Now, that's not as hard to understand, because as you continue to read in the book of Acts and you look at the apostles and some of the work of the other saints, they did those things, including raising the dead. And throughout history, you have other evidence, up to now, of other saints, those who were born of the Spirit of God, and those who were filled by the Spirit to go out and do work of God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Father gives through His Son Jesus, to go and do those works. And you have testimony of those things. I have observed those things. I have seen those things. Those works are worked in our local body of Christ, as well as over in Kenya and the men in Kenya. And so God does testify. Those things do happen. But again, as I've warned in other episodes, that's not necessarily the full proof that you are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus warned that in Matthew chapter 7. We discussed that in the episode we just did the other day, that we just got posted yesterday. I forgot the title of it. It's there. You can look it up. Maybe somebody will look it up and we'll put a shout out to that here, if you haven't listened to that one. So that one, for some people, they understand it's easier to comprehend, right, doing the works that Christ has already done. But I'll tell you, a lot of churches today, they don't do those works. And the reason why they don't do those works is many of them have not been born of the Spirit of God. They have not been spiritually baptized. They don't understand what it is. I grew up in a church. I went to both conservative and I'd been to Pentecostal churches before. And I can tell you, even in the Pentecostal, sometimes you might, a lot of what you'd see is speaking in tongues. But I did an episode on tongues. And you can do a Google search of tongues and warriors for Christ. And listen to that. There's much deception with tongues. But outside of that, a lot of this work is not being done in the churches. A lot of churches make excuses to say they're put away. But that's not true. Gifts do not cease until the end of the body of Christ is completed. And that doesn't happen until His coming. Or until no more people, saints, can be added to the body of Christ, which happens when the man of lawlessness and the mark of the beast comes along. And that warning is discussed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that God Himself will send the deluding influence to prevent other people from accepting the truth, but to go off and follow the man of lawlessness to fulfill all prophecy. Now, the episode that we spoke of, that we just did, was Don't Let One Verse Theology Steal Your Salvation. So that was the one I was referring to previously. I just discussed. So now let's get to the real heart of the question at matter, where you are commanded to do greater works than Christ. How?
Well, it's not possible. Well, there's no way.
So people will say that.
How could it be?
And the other thing is, first, not is it not possible, but what would be the greater work? What would be the greater work? I'm here to tell people what this greater work is. And I'm also going to go and look at some other examples of kind of a similar principle with John the Baptist and something that Jesus said about John the Baptist. But here's the answer. We're going to go through scripture to show these principles. The answer of the greater works that we are to do is when we lead somebody to Christ to receive a new heart and a new spirit. Braden, if I were to, let's say your hand was shriveled up and you had a crippled hand, in the name of Jesus, I were to command and exercise the authority that has been granted to me from my Father for you to straighten out your hand and for it to be fully restored and normal and healthy, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
For most people, yeah, looking at the physical.
Amen. Yep, and that would be a work consistent with what Jesus had previously done. But Braden, if I make your hand whole, does that save your soul?
It won't do anything for my soul.
So would that be a greater work than a work that would be done that could save your soul?
It would not.
No, it wouldn't. Kenan, let's say your feet were worthless. You could not walk. You were lame and crippled. And I came, and in the name of Jesus, I exercised the gift of the healing that the Father has granted to me by his Holy Spirit and through Christ, to, in the name of Jesus, command you to get up and walk. Kenan, does that mean that all of a sudden you are going to go into the kingdom of heaven? That by doing that work that has somehow given you a new heart, a new spirit, to be the new creation?
It does not. It's physical.
That's right. It's a physical work. Now, the spirit had to do that physical work because it's an impossible physical work. But it's not the spiritual work that God desires that causes a man to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. David, if you were a man that was blind, and I exercised the gift of the Spirit and commanded and restored your sight, is that going to allow you to enter into the kingdom of heaven?
Most assuredly not.
No. Now, those works definitely testify that the kingdom of God has come near. Did you catch? Come near. But until you're added into the kingdom, it's just near. You see, God desires, and he draws and seeks to draw people near to himself. But until you accept the calling and respond and understand the truth of the message of the gospel of why Christ came, to receive of the new heart and the new spirit, well, then you may find yourself getting to the end of your race and say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord, I've done all these works, and yet he's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Now, we've done many episodes on the new heart, the new spirit. We did a whole 6-part series on that. Go listen to those, please. Dig into the Word of God and understand the truth. Now, this greater work, I want to look at some other passages of Scripture that reinforces this. Let's go to Matthew. And in Matthew, I want to go to Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus talks about some of the physical members of your body. And if you have a work done that restores a physical member of your body, yet if you continue to stumble, because there's only one work of God that can help you to not stumble. So in Matthew chapter 5, if someone will read for me, verse 27 to verse 30.
You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
That's right. And you know, you have this teaching repeated by Christ several times. But here's the deal. The issue is the heart. The problem isn't necessarily the hand or the foot. See, those simply are members that are doing the desires that come from the heart. It's the heart that is corrupt and desperately wicked and deceitful. God must change the heart. God must circumcise your heart. As spoken about both in the Old Testament, that was commanded to Israel that God required for them. It's what Moses told Israel, which what their problem was, as God spoke through him. The same problem for us. As the New Testament teaches, we must receive the circumcised heart. We must be spiritually baptized, become the new man, until sin is cleansed from the heart. We have new desires from God. You cannot stop sinning. And as Jesus taught in his word, it is the thoughts, the wicked thoughts of the heart that defile you and make you the bad tree. That is why you are corrupt and defiled in the eyes of God. Now, we did an episode, The New Heart. And it was the New Testament. And you can go look that up. And that talks about these passages. I believe we also covered some of them in the New Heart, New Spirit episode as well, what Jesus teaches of what defiles a person. So until that happens, you cannot be free. It all comes from the heart. So it doesn't matter if you have a physical work of healing of the hand, the foot, the eye. Those are simply outward manifestations of the power of God. Works of God, yes, but not works of God that can save a person. You see, it's only receiving the cleansing of the heart, the new heart and the new spirit that can save a person. That is the work that must be done. That is the work that is greater than the physical works that Jesus did. Now, the work of Christ, that he went and died on the cross. Oh, now that work is by far greater than all. That work hadn't yet been done. When Jesus said, the works that I do, he was referring to the works that he had already been doing. The healing, the casting out demons, eyesight, lame to walk, raising the dead. But those things aren't the new heart and the new spirit. After Jesus went and died, and he went up to heaven to take his position at the right hand of the Father and become high priest forever, we now have access to the Father. We can be reconciled through his blood and to receive the gift of the promise of the Holy Spirit that does a work to spiritually baptize us. We've done many episodes on that, spiritual baptism. Go listen to those episodes. That work that we now have the commission to do, to go out and to make disciples, to go out and plant seeds and to water them, and for God to cause the growth, to raise up spiritual children and descendants of Abraham through the righteousness that comes through faith. That is the work that is greater than all those other physical works. The question is, are you doing those works? But even the question before that is, has that work been done in your heart? Now, if you're still struggling with sin, or you believe the lie of the devil that you can have peace with God while yet continuing with sin, beloved, you've been deceived. You need to get into your Bible and understand what the true grace of God is and what you're to stand firm in. We did an episode on that. It's in the book of 1 Peter. The true grace of God, stand firm in it. The only place in all of Scripture where it says this is the true grace of God. You should understand what Peter taught. Listen to that episode. Meditate on the words of God and let the word of God free you. Just as we covered in the previous episode about one verse theology. Jesus taught, he came to set you free. I want to look at two other passages. Again, Luke. You know, looking at the greater work. Saving your physical body, gaining the world, that's nothing if you don't save your life. That is the greatest work. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus spoke. And he said, verse 23 to 25, he gave an instruction. Someone read verse 23 through 25.
Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed?
That's right. What does it profit you if you lose your soul? Now, when you look at this, the whole point is, how do you save your life? Saving your life eternally. Ironically, you must give up and lose your life physically, the physical desires of this life, your physical will, all the desires of the wicked heart. You must be willing to lose all that. And when you're willing and come in humility, God can then do the work and change it. David, when you came to Christ? Did God require you to give up all your possessions?
He did.
He did. Who owns all your possessions?
God does.
And how do you, so you're just a steward of the possessions that are of God's.
Everything is His.
And so no longer is it your desires of spending it on your pleasures. But what is your desire to do with the possessions that God has given you?
The will of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. The will of the Father that He convicts and leads through His Spirit. He does that through convictions, through the spirit of discernment, the gift of spirit of prophecy that is given to other people. And God's very specific. And He guides us. And He does His work.
As it says in John 15, I am just a vine.
That's right. The Father is the vine and we are the branches. Christ is the vine and we are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser. And He prunes. And He helps us to continue to blossom. And as we're given different spiritual gifts, we're faithful with little. He gives us more. So, again, when you look at this of losing your life, it doesn't profit you if you have a hand, a foot, a this or that. And in the end, God requires you to give it all up. Listen to the episode, for those who are listening, of the free gift that cost you everything. And you will understand as we go through and look at the teachings of Christ and other places of the Word of God, of how what God says, what that means. Many of these things are not being taught. And this is why people have not yet received power of the Almighty God that does works in their lives beyond what they can even think or imagine. It's like men yesterday as we were driving down to Denver yesterday, and we were just sharing in the car. It's all about God and His work. It's not until a man has truly died to self and denied and been crucified with Christ that you can now do the Father's will. And let Him lead and guide and replace all your desires. Wonderful when you rest from your work and enter into God's rest and now do His will and no longer your work. It's an easy yoke and burden. And we'll be doing an episode on that coming up as well. The last passage I wanted to cover, look at the example in Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist, which gets back to this principle of you have spiritual work and a physical work. You have a physical body, and you have a spiritual body. Matthew chapter 11. This is when Jesus was speaking about John the Baptist. And so if someone will read, we'll read verse 7 through verse 7 through verse 11.
As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. And he is more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way before you." I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is.
So when you look at this, those born of woman, there's not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Out of all those, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. It's kind of like a little another riddle. Well, how can that be? John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God. He walked. He did these works. He paved the way for Christ. When Christ came. Yet it says, out of all those born of woman, there is no one greater than John the Baptist? But yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he? Well, those who are in the kingdom of heaven. You see, we have not yet entered into the actual kingdom of heaven yet. The kingdom of heaven has come near. But that's not going to happen until after the second coming of Christ. And something happens at the second coming of Christ. When Christ appears, what's going to happen to those who are dead in the ground? What is going to happen to those saints who are alive at the time? What's going to happen? Are we going to maintain this earthly body, this same fleshly body?
No.
What does the Bible say is going to happen? We're going to put on immortality. At the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive and remain will be caught up with him in the air. Now, this is the gathering that you read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14, 15, somewhere around there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, towards the end of that chapter, talks about how we'll all be changed at the last trumpet. That the mortal will put on immortality. The perishable will put on imperishable. We will receive glorified bodies. Bodies like Christ in the kingdom of heaven. As Scripture says, we'll become co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom. We'll sit and rule on thrones as Christ also sits on the and rules under the throne of his Father. You see, when you put on that, and the redemption of your body has finally come, by which right now we simply have a pledge, a deposit of the Holy Spirit until the redemption of our bodies. And we did an episode on that too, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and explain that. If you'd like more and go through the Scripture, you'll find those Scripture passages and those teachings in that episode. But there's a difference between someone who is a saint here on this earth and those who has endured to the end and their body has been redeemed and they have put on immortality. That person has finished their race. That person has been glorified as Christ has been glorified with a new spiritual body. That person, even the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven, is greater than John the Baptist. He was still in this earthly body. Just as Christ, currently with his spiritual body in the position of heaven, is greater than he was when he was in his physical body here on earth. Yet he was able to do the things of God because he had the law of the Spirit and the Spirit of life that dwelt within him. The same Spirit that's bedwelling in us. So you see, there's the physical, and then there's the spiritual. And right now, the kingdom of heaven has come near to those on earth. And the Spirit does do a work on earth. The first work that must happen is the new heart and the new spirit. And that is the greater work than the physical works and what Jesus did.
Amen.
Now, that's what we talked about earlier. Now, John was that person. John had a new heart and a new spirit. John's heart had been cleansed. It happened in the womb. And he walked as a righteous man, serving God, being led by the Spirit of God. But yet, that's simply a man with a new heart and new spirit on this earth. Until you endure to the end, as Jesus said. And finish your race. And then you put on immortality. That man in the kingdom of heaven is greater than that man on earth. Amen. Brothers, do you have anything to share or comment on?
Amen.
By the Spirit of God, any convictions before we end in prayer? To reinforce with anyone or anything you want to speak?
Our bodies are temporary, our souls are eternal.
Amen. And the decision that each person makes will determine where their eternal soul goes. To the place of eternal torment in hell or the place of peace with our Heavenly Father. In his presence, and in the presence of his Son.
Nobody can make that decision for you.
That's right. You who are listening, that's your decision between you and God. But I pray that you search the Scripture and meditate on God's Word and appeal to the Father through the Son Jesus to teach and instruct you by His Holy Spirit. Humble yourself and let God remove any lies that you have in your mind, to wash them out by His Word, so you can stand on the truth. I had to do that. 40 years of my life, I thought I served God in holiness and through faith, and serving Jesus my Lord, till God showed me I was serving two masters, and that is not allowed. He will accuse me of being the adulterous woman, just as He did Israel. It wasn't until I was freed of that first master that I now serve only one. Father, I thank You for the work that You do in a man's life. I thank You, Father, that we have been now commissioned, and having received a new heart and new spirit, we can also lead others into the greater work. Those being born again as sons and daughters of God, with the Spirit given as a pledge until the redemption of our bodies, for all those who endure to the end. I thank You, Father. Be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.